in chapter 15. And tonight is the final message of the seven-part series of the seven I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I am the vine. We bring to a conclusion our message series from the book of John on the seven I am statements of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you're finding that in your Bible, John chapter 15, and we'll have it on the overhead, I do want to say that I'm excited about our Christmas cantata that's coming up, and those that came out tonight to practice, and it's not too late to be a part of that, and it's going to be, I'm believing, the best ever, because I just believe the Lord wants. You know what my best sermon is? The next one I'm getting ready to preach. That's just the way I believe. I just think the next to come ought to be better than the past. Amen. Because that's eternity. A million years from tonight, we're going to be going, wow. Amen. Because it's going to get better and better. Hallelujah, somebody. And I think it's great what we're doing for the veterans this Saturday. And somebody said, Brother Ricky, have you ever served in uniform? And I said, well, I was in the marching band. I don't know if that deserves all of that, but we did work really hard and form and turn and write about faces and all of that. But I am proud of all those who served in uniform. Amen. We are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 11. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. I don't understand why some people teach you can't backslide. There it is right there. Just get disconnected from Jesus. There it is right there. Backsliding is real. You can get disconnected and suffer the consequences. Verse 7. But we're not going to backslide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Amen. I feel his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, somebody say joy, shall remain in you, and that your joy might be, what's that last four-letter word? Amen. Praise God. The Lord is in this house tonight. Amen. Brother Ray Meeks, I want you to stand and ask God to bless the preaching of the word tonight. Would you mind doing that, my brother? Yes, Lord. Yes.
Today, yes, to worship and to praise and to glorify your precious name. Now, Father, we pray your fresh anointing upon your servant tonight. Your word's already anointed, Father. Anoint your servant to proclaim your word. Use him, God, in a mighty way like he's never been used before. And, Father, open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to be receptive, Lord, to what you want to say to us, Father, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of thee. We realize tonight we need more of you in our hearts and our lives, and we thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done, what you're going to do. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you. Amen.
And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. You may be seated. We've been talking about in this series the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just by way of reminder, all that Jesus wants to do for you and all he wants to be to you can be found in these seven statements. I'm going to go through these very quickly. He wants to provide for you. And we find that in the bread of life in John 6 and verse 35. John 6 and 35, I am the bread of life. He wants to be our provision. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He wants to not only provide for you, he wants to guide you. And then in John chapter 10 and verse 9, He not only wants to provide and to guide, He said, I am the door. And He wants to secure you. He wants you to walk in security. And He is the door that no man can break down and come in and get us. And we thank the Lord that He is in John chapter 10 and verse 11. John chapter 10 and verse 11. He not only wants to guide you and provide and secure you, He wants to protect you. He said, I am the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And in the Bible it says He's the chief shepherd who shall appear. And then in John chapter 11 verse 25, and we visited that graveyard as a church this past Tuesday on Lamb Road. And we can say to Sister Linda Edwards and to all of us who will have that appointment. One man preached at these funerals that death is no surprise. It's not going to slip up on you like you think it is. That was a powerful message. But when it happens in John 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He not only wants to raise me from death. Look at John 14 and 6. The most important work He wants to do is He wants to save me. Oh, I'm glad He provides for me and He guides me and He secures me and He protects me and He raises me from death. But the most important thing He can do for anyone is save us. In John 14 and verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is anybody on the way here tonight? I didn't say, are you in the way? I said, are you on the way? If you are, give Him a hand of praise tonight. He wants to guide us, protect us. He wants to, the I am statements are all about what He wants to do for us and what He wants to do through us. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the protector, I am the provider, I am the way maker, I am the chain breaker, I am He that walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Who shall I say sent me? Tell them the I am has sent you. Oh, somebody praise that great I am. He is here tonight. And then tonight, the final one, I am the true vine, or I am the vine. He wants to use me. I'm glad that He saved me. Pastor Jerry, I'm glad that He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But one of the greatest thrills is when He uses me to be a blessing to someone, to encourage someone. When He uses me in some small way in this world, in some handful of purpose out in the corner of the field of His providence, I can say I'm connected. Yes, I'm connected with the vine. I'm reaching up and He's reached down, and we are divinely put together for such a time as this, and He is the vine and I am the branch, and God's got a plan for my life. The devil can't have me. Drugs isn't going to destroy me. Oh, thank God, relationships might hurt me, but I'm connected to the vine. None of this was in my notes, by the way. Brother Ray's prayed the Lord use me tonight. Amen. Praise God. Please understand the context of when He said this last I am statement, last that we're going to look at at least. He is talking, remember, in John 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. Where are we at? We're in an intimate setting. Jesus is preparing His disciples for His soon departure. Think of that. Somebody say soon departure. In fact, the first four I am statements were given to the crowd. The fifth I am statement was given to a person, Martha. But the last two are giving on the evening to His disciples, on the eve of His leaving and being crucified. You have walked with Him for 3 years. You've seen Him walk on water. You've seen Him raise from the dead. And now He's leaving? He's going to go? I thought He was the one that was going to stay. I'm sure they were upset and uncertain and unsure. I'm going to say that again. I'm sure they were upset and uncertain and unsure. I want to say that again, because somebody might be upset tonight. Somebody might be uncertain tonight. Somebody might be unsure tonight. But here is what Jesus says. Jesus said, don't you worry about my leaving. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Aren't you glad to know that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord? And to be absent from the Lord, I want you to know I'm present in this body, but He is here. He is walking. He is the I am. I'm going away, but we're going to stay connected. Somebody say, stay connected. We're going to stay connected. Our relationship doesn't end. I may be leaving you physically, but we will be connected spiritually and we will be connected eternally. For He is the vine. He is the true vine. Syed Abedini, you may remember him. He was the American pastor who had been imprisoned in Iran back in 2012, and he was put under very harsh conditions. And on January 27th, 2013, he was sentenced to 8 years in prison on charges that he threatened national security by planting house churches in Iran for several years. He was in prison, and since then, thank the Lord, and I think it has a lot to do with who's president. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said in prison, but now, for some reason, he's been released. Can you imagine? It kind of reminds me of when the hostages were held in Iran in 1979 for 444 days, but on January 20th, 1981, somehow they got released. I don't know why. Maybe it happened to be because Ronald Reagan was raising his hand, saying, I'm going to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Somebody, I want you to know it matters who's at the top. Hallelujah. He got released. But before he got released, I'm looking around. Where does all this come from? Where does it come from, Pastor? Amen. Oh, praise God. But he got released. But before he got released, his little boy had a birthday. And his little boy said, Daddy, I want you to be home for my birthday. And he wrote his son from prison in Iran these words. He said, son, even though I am not there with you, I am is there with you. So on this special day, I want you to accept the gift of salvation. Invite Jesus into your heart as you've invited me to your birthday. Can we just lift our hands and know that the I am is with us? Oh, thank you, Father. We are not alone. You are with us in the ups, the downs, the ins and the outs, the valleys, the mountains. You are the I am. Somebody give Him a hand of praise tonight. The I am changes who I am. Say that with me. The I am changes who I am. One more time. The I am changes who I am. Let me give you four things tonight about the vine. I am the vine. Point number one, the declaration. He said, I am the vine. I love that. I tell you, Christianity, we can't be weak-kneed. We can't be pluralistic and, well, your opinion is just as good. No, there's only one opinion. It's not an opinion. It's the truth. Amen. He said, I am the bread. He said, I am the shepherd. I am the way. I am the resurrection. And I am the true vine. There's no doubt, no question, no uncertainty. Jesus is it one of many vines? Take your choice. No, He is the one vine that you want to get connected with. He is the... Somebody say amen tonight. In Hampton Court near London, I found out there's a grapevine which is 1,000 years old. This grapevine has one root which is at least 2 feet thick. And some of the branches are 200 feet long. And despite its age, I'm going to let that one sink in. Despite its, I'm seeing 50 in the, down the road here soon. Be 49 next year and 50 the year after, glory. Despite its age, the vine, listen, despite the age, the vine produces several tons of grapes every year. although some of the smaller branches are, listen, 200 feet away from the main stem, they still bear the sweet and delicious fruit because they are connected to the vine. Life flows from that single root and throughout the vine, bringing nourishment and strength to each of the branches. My goodness, that vine that we're connected to is not 1,000 years old. The vine I'm talking about is from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And if you'll get in that Ancient of Days vine, you can feel that life flowing through you. Doesn't matter how old your branch is. You won't wither and die. You will be flourishing in the house of the Lord. You'll be bearing fruit. You won't be broke, busted and disgusted, depressed, oppressed, mad and sad. I'll tell you, you won't be gloom, despair and agony on me, deep dark depression, perfect misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Honey, you're not connected to the vine, because when you're connected to the vine, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody say amen tonight. Woo, glory. A.W. Tozer said with my hero, A.W. Tozer, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, and the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? That's the declaration. I am the true vine. How many of you want to be connected to that vine? Let me see your hand tonight. Amen. Not only the declaration, but point number two, the invitation. Because in this declaration is actually an invitation. Because you got to go back and read carefully about the vine and the branches. Now, we think that a branch is automatically connected to a vine. Well, there's a vine and then the branches kind of shoot off. And that's true in the physical sense. But go to John chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. Just give me a thumbs up when you have it, KK. And notice here a very important word here, because not only do we have the declaration, we have an invitation. John 15 and 4 says what? Shout that, all right, shout that first word again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, that's not just automatic in a sense. There's a choice here. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, go to verse 6. Are we at verse 6? Just give me a thumbs up. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. You know what? You've seen those little twigs in the yard? And if I thought about it, I would have brought one tonight, because you know what I'm talking about. There's a tree limb that's fallen from the tree, and man, that thing looks pitiful, don't it? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, a storm comes up and blows a limb off, and several days later, I mean, why, as long as it was up on that tree, man, that limb was brown and had color in it and green leaves. And boy, when it gets off of there on the ground and it's all gray and ashen looking, and you could take one of those little, it's so easy to break. That describes a lot of Christians, or so-called Christians. Oh, I'm about to preach right now. I want you to know, a little twig, a little curled up twig that's got no sap in it and no life in it. And the problem is that branch has gotten disconnected. Some storm has come up. Brother and sister, don't let the storms of life knock you off of that branch. Listen, problems can do one of two things. They can draw you to Jesus, or they can draw you away from Jesus. Well, I don't understand why this happened. Well, you can not understand with God, or you cannot understand without God. But I can promise you this. I may not understand with God, but one day, as long as I stay connected, the songwriter said, we'll talk it over in the sweet by and by. I'm not going to get disconnected. All I'm going to do is become a twig. I'm just going to curl up and be all gray and be all touchy and all sad. But my friend, stay in that vine. Abide in his presence. And I promise you, God will do amazing things. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And I'm going to get to this at the end of the message. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. Somebody say continue. Verse 15 and verse 9. This is an invitation. Christianity is about a choice. Now, I'm going to talk a little theology here, and I try to stay up on the times and the thoughts and the ideas, and there's a big resurgence of Calvinism and Reformation theology. We had one of our students that went through the School of Ministry, a wonderful young man, and he got all into this Reformation stuff, and I tried to talk to him, and that's all about the fact of foreordained and predestined, and God's choose who goes to hell, and it's taking choice. My friend, I'm telling you, all over from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, you got a choice. You better make the right choice. People say, well, that puts us in charge. No, because God gives us the choice to make. Amen. You gotta choose to remain in the vine. You can choose resentment, or you can choose forgiveness. You can choose judgment, or you can choose grace. You can choose doubt, or you can choose faith. When something comes up, and I don't understand it, and it bothers me, I have a choice to make. Am I going to doubt God, or am I going to trust God? I remember something happened to me, and I ain't going to tell you what happened, but something happened to me that really bothered me. And man, I tell you what, for about 5 minutes, I was really choosing doubt and and all of a sudden I stopped. And I said, wait a minute, God has already told me this, and he's already confirmed it that way. Then this ain't going to happen. Somebody say amen. Oh, that's a story we can all tell. I choose faith. We preached a whole series of messages. We can choose anxiety, or we can choose trust. Jesus was saying to his disciples, he's saying, I know you're worried about me leaving. I know you're thinking, what are we going to do? I know you don't want me to leave, but this is the best for you. So I'm going to give you a choice to remain, to abide, continue, for I'm not finished with you yet. I still have something for you to do. I will be to your life. I will be to your life, for I am. I will be to you life, for I am the vine, and you are the branches. Somebody say amen here tonight. We have a choice. Tell your neighbor, we have a choice. We can abide or not abide. J.C. Ryle said that to abide in Christ. Listen to this. He was a great preacher of the 1800s. He said to abide in Christ means to cling to me, stick fast to me, live your life close to me, get nearer and nearer to me, roll every burden onto me, cast your whole weight on me, never let go of your hold of me for a moment. That's a choice. That's a amazing choice, abiding in the vine, cling to him, stick fast to him, live close to him, cast your weight upon him, never let go of your love and your relationship, never, you know, I just think about sometimes the perspective of things, and you know, the sun is so much bigger than the earth. I know it is, and you know it is, and we just can't imagine if you were to look at it in perspective that the earth is about the size of your thumb, and the sun is probably as big as this building in retrospect, in perspective. And I think about the moon, and you know, the moon is not bigger than the earth, but it's bigger than Wilson. Can you say amen? It's bigger than your world, I guarantee you. But you know, you can take your thumb and you can hold it up, and your thumb can block the moon. The moon has not gotten any smaller. It's that you've got a lot bigger in your eyes. You can take your little bitty thumb, and you can block out that moon. And I think a lot of times when things happen in our lives in the darkness of light, that we can take our thoughts and our feelings, and we can block out how great and how big our God is. We must abide in the vine. Not only the declaration, not only the invitation, but there is number three, the warning. The warning. Because look at John chapter 15 and verse 2. John chapter 15 and verse 2. There's two warnings here. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Purges it that it might bring forth That's called pruning. And I want you to know up front that that's not going to feel very good. You know, if we're part of the vine and we're part of the branches, you know what I mean by those big scissors? You know, those. I'm not talking about the little ones you cut paper with. Now I'm talking about those big, when you're out there. I don't ever do it, so I don't know what they're called. Shears. There you go. Thank y'all. God bless you. I'm going to Cracker Barrel after church tonight. Glory to God. With my gift card. Amen. They might have a set in there in the old country store. I don't know. Pastor Jerry, he loves to do that. You know, you'll drive by and boy, he's got those, he's just out there cutting, and Sister Claire and some of these others. And my wife, she loves to get out there with those shears. And some people love yard work. Amen. God bless you. Do it in Jesus' name. If my wife told me, she said, it helps her relax. I hadn't figured that one out yet. It just unwinds all that energy. And praise God. Go ahead. Just do it. Amen. But those old big shears, I'm telling you, Brother Philip, every now and then in my life, God, I have to bring some old big shears. Sometimes I get a little too big. Sometimes there's some things growing in my on that vine and that branch. Sometimes there's a little tweeds and some stuff there that's extra, and God just comes in and sometimes I get in a relationship that's not good for me. Oh, come on now. And so God has to take that and cut that relationship off. And I'll tell you, thank God he has cut some relationships off in my life over the years. Different ones who are leading me in a wrong direction. Those shears are, it's not fun when God prunes us. It's he whom the Lord loves, he chastens and he disciplines. And perhaps thoughts come into our mind, negative thoughts. Unforgiveness. You see how pretty that plant is? I know it's an artificial plant, but think about horticulture here tonight. But I don't care. The prettiest plant can get these twigs and these growth in there and cancer almost in a sense. Not in a reality, but in a sense. And so God says, no, that's not good. And you know, those of you that garden, you know, you've got to plant those vegetables, and they begin to grow, but so do those weeds. And so God has to, the master gardener has to go out there, and it's not easy, and it takes work. But if you don't cut those weeds out, those weeds of doubt, those weeds of unforgiveness, when a pastor didn't shake my hand, snip, snip, you need to snip that. Come on. Come on now. Well, Sister So-and-so, didn't do what I wanted her to do, or didn't do what I think she should do, or she didn't shake my hand. You gotta snip. Come on, help me now. God's gotta pull out those shit. Now listen, the more you let it grow, and the bigger it is, the harder it's gonna be to snip it out. Cause some of those weeds will get some wood in there, and you gotta really work it to get that stuff out, like I know. But I'm just telling you what I've observed. Come on now. And I can tell you in my life, we've all got our stories. And there's just been times when things have happened and I'm not going to this. God, just take that shit and just snip it right out. How can I not forgive people when he's forgiven me? Amen. Thoughts and feelings and, there might be, listen, I'm telling you, some of the movies we watch, some of the things we say, we need to purge those things. We need to purge out unbelief. We need to purge out, and he prunes that. People say, and thank God, listen, the hard feelings and bitterness and doubt and fear I used to do such and such in the church and there was just somebody that didn't do right, and so I'm not gonna work in the church any longer. No, God needs to prune that spirit out of you, because we need workers like never before. And there's a lot. I had a man one time that said he could play the drums, and I need a drummer. He said, I'm not going to play the drums anymore, because the last church I went to, they hurt my feelings. Oh, God, prune that from me. Prune that bitterness. Prune that unforgiveness. I want to be in the true vine, and I want to bear forth much fruit. People say I'm blessed and highly favored. But I'll tell you something. Every now and then, we are blessed and highly pruned. And that's a saying that is being favored. Amen. Because when he prunes me, guess what? I can preach better, and I can sing better, and I can teach better. And my life brings glory to his holy name. And I'm tapped into the vine, and great things happen. Somebody say amen tonight. We don't want to wither and die like the little twig. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Flip that around. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is a balance there. Because even in success, sometimes God has to prune that out of our life too. Well, I can preach and I can sing and I know how to usher and I've been the church officer for 28 years. Oh, but it's not that you've been an officer for 28 years. It might be the attitude that needs to be pruned. Amen. Who are we but the Lord's servants? Amen. Oh, somebody got a position. Somebody got a church that I felt like I was qualified for. And I felt like, well, in fact, I was talking to a pastor the other day. You got to talk to preachers. And the pastor said, I'm 35 years of age. And another pastor got a church and he's 25 years of age. And it's a bigger place. And I'm older. And I said, brother, you're going to have to prune that out. You're going to have to pull out the scissors. Cause God's got you where he wants you. And he knows your number of the hair on your head. And he's got better plans. I'd rather, as Arthur Blessed said, I'd rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. Why don't you praise him that he can prune us and mold us and use us? Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. We gotta be humble. I heard about a mosquito that rode on the back of an elephant. And they went across the hanging bridge, and as they went across the bridge, made a lot of noise and shook and swung. And the mosquito, after they got across, said to the elephant, boy, didn't we make a lot of noise? It's all the Lord, amen? All glory. Somebody say, all glory. I return to you. It's not me. Yes, God uses me. I offer myself, but he is to get all of the glory. Spiritual pride is the worst form of pride. It is the same pride that destroyed Lucifer. Help us to return all the praises to him. My Aunt Lola said, son, there'll come a time when you will preach well and people will God will use you. And son, you're just going to have to turn all of the praises right over back to the Lord. Because the minute we begin to get prideful is the minute God has to pull out the shears. Amen. But it's for our good. Amen. Sometimes, as the pastor says, it's those prayers that God doesn't answer. Sometimes it's those doors he does close. Sometimes it's those relationships that he does cause you to sever. It is for our good. Can you say amen tonight? So the declaration, the invitation, the warning, and then the production. Number four, the production. What is the culmination? What is the climax? What is the ultimate production? Go to John 15:11. This is good. This is good. I love this. Because this is what it's all about. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that what might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Why don't you give him a hand of praise tonight? That's what it's all about. Now, I know sometimes we shed tears. Paul himself said, with tears, I warn you day and night. Tears. Even Jesus wept. We know that we're not talking about something that's not genuine. We sorrow with those that have sorrow. We feel pain. We understand the realities of life. But I will tell you that joy comes from abiding in the vine. And you might be in the hospital hooked up to a ventilator, but if you're hooked up to the vine, I promise you, you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want you to know that his joy will give you something that alcohol cannot give you, something that drugs cannot give you, something that some boyfriend or girlfriend cannot give you who don't serve the Lord. There's only one source of joy, and that's in the vine, and that's in being in Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You can't be connected to the vine and not stay in the word of God. Thank God for this young boy that was been taught. Listen, how old is Junior? 9 years old? He's already read his Bible through. from Genesis to Revelation. 9 years old. Now, he didn't just pick up the Bible and start reading. Somebody fanned the flame. That flame has a name. Carolyn Edwards. Come on now. And she fanned that flame and she stoked that boy and got him pumped up and said, son, read that Bible. I'll help you read it. And I want you to know that there are people in this church tonight, possibly, maybe not everybody, maybe not, but one or two, and maybe not anybody, I should say. But I know in a lot of churches and a lot of places that adults have never read the Bible through from Genesis to, honey, you can't be tied into the vine if you're not in his word. His word is joy. His word will bring comfort and help and strength. And you've got to stay in the word of God. You've got to read it. You've got to do it daily. You've got to do it yearly. You've got to read it through. People say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Have you read the Bible from cover to cover? Come on here. We've got to get into the word of God. Without the word, ignorance happens. People come up with all kinds of ideas. Well, let's find out what the Word says. Amen? Let's find. Not only the Word, but look at John 15 and 7 again. If you abide in me and my words abide in me, you shall what? Somebody say prayer. Prayer keeps you connected to the vine. Amen? You want to say, how do I stay connected to that vine? Number one, the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. And number two, praying. And praying every day, and listen, praying every way. Now, you don't have to pray an hour every day to stay connected to God. Somebody said it best like this. Now, by the way, let me say this to you. You should discipline yourself to have set aside times to pray. I'll tell my wife, I'll say, honey, I'm going out to the car, and I'll be out there for about 30 minutes to pray. So I get in the car. And I'll cut the car on because I want it comfortable. And I'll pray. And I'll cry and I'll lift my hands. And I'll spend time with God. And that's my 30 minutes with the Lord. At least four times a week is what I try to do. When I was a lead pastor and I had a full day, not bivocational as I am now, the first hour was spent in prayer. First hour was spent in prayer. And that office in there, when I was pastor at Living Waters, when I came in here at 8:30 in the morning, I prayed one solid hour. Now, I'm not trying to make myself to be something spiritual. I'm just telling you, there was times I couldn't do it, times I had to be at the hospital, but I've got set aside times to pray in my life. I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about Jesus. Amen? But I'm just trying to encourage you. Have some set aside time. When people say, well, why do you go to your car to pray? Because we have a cat. That cat goes bonkers when I start praying. The minute I start praying and I'm by myself, that cat starts meowing, rubbing on my legs, jumping on my chair. And as I'm kidding you not, my wife went to praying the other night. I was at Best Buy. She got on her hands and knees to pray. And before she could get to praying good, the cat jumped on her back and scrooched down and got warm. And she took a selfie of her and the cat seeking the Lord. I don't know who was getting a blessing, but I guess they both were. But I'm just telling you, even the cat knows when you've prayed. Hallelujah. Even the neighbors know when you pray. Somebody, you need to have some times to pray. And I don't want to be bothered by the cat. I don't want to be bothered by the phone. When I have my set aside time, it's me and the Lord. Amen. I said all that to say this. If you don't have a set aside time to pray, listen, I understand we're all busy, but you can still pray. Every day. One man said this, and I'm coming to a close, by the way. Just want to let you know. I get to call myself to the piano when I'm ready to close. Brother Ricky, get ready. Get ready. That's what the pastor does. Points that way. But one man said, he said, I don't pray long when I pray. But I don't go long without praying. Isn't that great? Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers, the great one. I don't pray. I don't always pray as long as I want to when I pray, but I don't go long without praying to God. And I promise you, He hears the whispers. He hears the prayers. I go to sleep talking to the Lord. I wake up talking to the Lord. I abide in the vine. He is the I am. He is the source and the force. Church, learn these I am statements. They will be with you through the thick and they'll be with you through the thin. They will be with you for all eternity. Hunger for Him. Love Him. I preach to you with all that's in my heart. He is nothing more lovelier. I see some of you suffering and going through trials, but I know I can tell you're connected to something more than 1,000 years old. Why don't you reach up and praise Him if you're connected to the vine tonight? Why don't you glorify His name tonight? Why don't you magnify His name tonight? I close with, and Pastor, if you'll come up in just a moment, this is how I want to close this series. It's a story that was told many years ago. I saw the movie on it, but it's about, and I'll just read it to you. It's called The Last Leaf. The Last Leaf. If you want to Google it, you can, or go Wikipedia. It was written in 1907. The story is set in Greenwich Village during a pneumonia epidemic. It tells the story of an old artist who saves the life of a young lady or a young aspiring artist who is herself dying of pneumonia. And he wants to give her a reason to live. Through her window, she can, you know, and we don't understand this in Wilson because we don't have our houses together, but in a city, outside of her window was a brick wall, and on that wall was a vine with several leaves on it. And gradually, as autumn was coming, as autumn is coming now for us, as she was laid in her bed sick with pneumonia, she just had it in her mind. She just had it in her mind that as those leaves fell off the vine, when the last leaf falls, she just felt like she would die. And they aspiring or the professional artist heard about this. And all his life, he wanted to produce a masterpiece. He had read of Michelangelo and Picasso and others and Da Vinci. And he often wondered why God had not given him that masterpiece to paint. And he heard about the girl dying of pneumonia. And he heard about her saying that when the last leaf falls, I will die. And the storms were coming and the rain, and it was not a good season. And she watched as the rain knocked down almost to the last leaf. But what she didn't realize was that the old artist looked at what she saw, and he painted a picture that resembled the last leaf hanging. And when she wasn't aware, out in the wind and the cold, he hung his painting. And so she looked and she never saw that last leaf fall, and she began to get hope and she began to recover. And by and by, she recovered her strength. She thought that last leaf would be the end of her, but she did not know that the master artist had given his masterpiece. And would you know that he contracted pneumonia and he wound up dying so that she could live. My friend, when I think about Jesus being that true vine, when I think about how the masterpiece of Calvary, and when the storms of life come, and it looks like I'm not going to make it through this, and my car's broke down one more time, and it just seems like one more of the leaf of life is gone, I want you to know He is the vine, and He is the master artist, and He did die for you, but He rose again on the third day, and as long as you will abide in the vine and keep your eyes upon Him, He will see you through. Somebody stand to your feet and give Him praise that He is the I Am, the great I Am. Come on, give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Glorify Him. Magnify Him. Brother Schuyler, I know that leaf seems to be withering, and I know it seems like you're on the last leaf, brother. This is not the last leaf. This is the masterpiece, and He's got you attached, and you're going to see even greater fruit and more fruit because you're abiding in the vine. Can you join me at the altar? Pastor is going to come and lead us in some songs here. But I want us to worship the vine. I want us to pray. There it is, the last leaf. Thank you for getting that picture. Oh, God, we thank You tonight that You are the I Am, Father. We give You praise tonight. We give You glory. Let me have Mike on the piano, please. Thank you. Oh, we bless You tonight, Lord. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need.
He's the ripple of the stream.
Yes, he is.
He's the God of everything. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was dead, but now he's alive. He holds the keys that I tried. He's my rock, he's my staff. He's my God, he'll make a way. He's all that I need.
Every day
he's all that I need. Joy down in my soul, and heaven is my goal. And some sweet day coming after you and me. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need.
Hallelujah.
He's all.
Come on, he's divine.